They just come across and just walked over the top of it.
Okay, we'd like to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting tonight, December 13th, 6:30 regular meeting. We'll start off with a pledge allegiance to me and the opening prayer by Russell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father in heaven, we bow our heads before thee this evening, grateful to thee, Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to be together here as representatives of Mount Pleasant City. We ask thee, Father in heaven, that thy spirit might be in attendance to help guide and direct us in the things that we need to do, that what we do might be in the best interest of the city and the citizens of the city. We ask thee, Father in heaven, to bless us and help us further down the road as we go forward to have the foresight to see what needs to be done in the future and start working towards those things that will enhance this community and help this community down the road. We see the inflation coming at us and everything, Father in heaven, bless and help and guide and direct us in all the matters that we need to attend to as councilman, mayor, and the representatives of the city. Our dear Father in heaven, we love thee. Our dear brother and savior, Jesus Christ, at this time of the year, we express a special thanks to thee, for thou art the greatest gift that was ever given. And we're grateful for all that thou hast done for us, and would hope that there will be more that will recognize thee in this time of the year. These blessings, Father in heaven, we seek and we thank thee for, and we do in the name of thy son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Roll call.
Ben.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Ramsey.
Here.
And Sal.
Here. Okay, next is approval of minutes at the November 8th, 2022 regular city council meeting.
We looked into them screens, the sewer in the present.
Yes, well, part of our deal tonight is going to be approving that master plan and stuff, the JUB. I mean, they're going to go after, apply for grants for us and everything else to try and help us to get it done and do an impact fee for that lining.
I know, second, third pond. Talked pretty much in length about that down there that night.
Yeah.
Time on it.
Yeah. Well, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes. November 22nd, 28th.
November 8th.
You got the only one.
Oh.
Hand, but this one.
This is the
one. Oops. November 8th. City council meeting, 6:30.
All second. Okay, a motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn, to approve the minutes of the November 8th, 2022 regular city council meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is our November 22nd, 2022 regular city council meeting.
vote on.
Andy didn't vote on the cemetery bathrooms because of the sewer line issue. Andy votes voted on everything.
Okay, if everybody's ready, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the 22nd November 2022, 6:30 regular council meeting.
I'll second that motion.
Yeah, the motion by Russell, second by Rondi, to approve the minutes from the November 22nd, 2022 regular city council meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of adjustments, transaction register dated 11/1/2022 to 11/30/2022 in the amount of $1,769.12.
What was the deal on the back page of the Dallas Pond?
Was it on
back page or in irrigation?
Christy Mayo's in the process of getting her Aunt Isla Borg's house up there, the property.
Where?
Isla Borg's property.
Uh-huh.
And the irrigation hadn't been paid since Isla Borg's.
Since she died.
Since she was put in the rest home, actually, or since she was put in the care.
Okay, so a little bit before she died, okay.
Yeah, so it hadn't been paid, so she was back paying that to you.
Okay, that makes sense. I'll make a motion to accept the transaction register dated 11/1/2022 to 11/30/2022 in the amount of $1,779.12.
I'll second that motion by Sam.
Yeah, the motion by Sam, second by Rondi, to approve the transaction register dated 11/1/2022 to 11/30/2022 in the amount of $1,779.12. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, next is the claim register dated 11/18/2022 to 12/9/2022 in the amount of $503,338.80. This one I'm looking at today.
This leaks on this backhoe. Is that a yearly? Is that a yearly leak? 19 grand.
Which lower? Which one is that? Is that the power? Is it power?
On page deck? 4.
Did you go to get a new hole, Cameron?
The power? I think so.
I think it's yearly.
It'd have to be the power one because it's.
That's not yearly.
The 19 was for 5 years.
I was gonna say it's probably a 3 or 5 year probably. Huh?
5 year lease. Okay. I'm just looking at it, I thought, boy, now
Caterpillar.
If that was a yearly deal, I'd say, wow.
We're looking for a different one.
I
takes a lot of gas, doesn't it?
Yeah.
$5,000.
Especially when the price goes up.
Gas is like doubled.
Yeah.
Yeah, eat all that water, it takes a lot of.
Yeah.
So is the gymnasium still the old gym? Is that the?
Yes.
Remind me how that still works.
We pay the utilities and Wasatch pays the maintenance.
They've got some nice.
We don't own the property or anything, right?
We get to use it for our rec program for the.
Is there an actual?
Junior jazz.
Is there an actual physical contract on that?
I'm not sure.
Probably wouldn't hurt to get some physical in writing, wouldn't it?
Actually, there is.
I was gonna say, I think there is, but I can't remember when it was last renewed, because I know me and Stephanie went over and talked to him 2 years ago.
I mean, if we're paying, I mean, that's a month.
Yeah.
Is that building, I mean, that's a huge chunk of money through the winter if we're paying that, just only use it for how many months do we use it? In all honesty, junior jazz, is that as far as I know, or is there other stuff in there?
That's all we use it for.
We just use it for junior jazz?
Use it for junior jazz, and then they use it at nights for like 3-on-3, 5-on-5.
And we pay this amount, 6 out of it, I'm sure, and then during the whole summer, we pay the utilities as well?
Yes.
That's your money.
Yes.
My opinion, we ought to revisit that and just pay for the months that we use it. Makes sense to me. If we're not using it the other months, why are we paying? I mean, that right there in 3 months is $12,000.
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous, in my opinion. Just as a rental of a building to give us good use of it. I mean, I know it's needed, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, that's, I don't know what the summer bill is, but.
Summer bill drops down the road pretty cheap, but again, it's the gas.
I guess we're paying for it, yeah.
It's very noticeable now.
So, I mean, to heat that big empty building, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
For the little bit of use we have.
Yep.
They've got a new gym down here, the field house. That's where their basketball team plays now. Or do they still play?
They still play up there.
Oh, do they?
Still play up there.
So when's their season, I mean?
It's all going on out there.
It all goes the same as the high school and all that. They go regular, like high school, it starts.
Yeah, they're playing.
September, October, and goes to like January or February?
It goes.
March.
End of February.
February, yeah, March is what I'm thinking.
And I think the junior jazz goes into February, so.
So I, and I don't.
We're using it together at the same time, man.
Yeah, like, I don't know, just seeing that bill maybe kind of hits a little harder than maybe what it used to.
A lot harder.
So, anyway, might be worth looking at renegotiating something somehow. I don't know.
I just have a comment. I know we moved it back near the snow pile. It was a given, but I just have a little bit of a problem. We've talked about selling these cars, old trucks that are parked up there, but nothing ever gets done. If we sell something like that, sell them, then we could turn around and put the money on it.
Put it back into it.
We've talked about this long before this council was here. 4 years it's gone on.
Well, we talked about it in this council too.
Yeah, we'll get it, we're gonna do it. And that's all, it never gets done.
What is the?
I don't know, obviously.
We just have to get their equipment and advertise it.
Just need to get pictures.
All we need to do is advertise.
Just take some pictures and advertise it.
Yeah.
Do they run and everything?
I don't know.
Some of them do, some of them do.
Some, you know.
But even if they don't, you can still sell.
You can still.
These places out here that rebuild old trucks and cars, I'm sure they would put a bid on everything.
Even $500 is $500 more than what's just sitting up there getting metal.
Sitting up there rusting, going to depreciate them.
I hope that now the car's starting to keep going up too.
But I don't know, at this time of year, I think it can be done.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, they.
Maybe I should have waited that for my turn to come out.
I got one question on page 17 for this roofless diesel. Does anyone know what that was?
Was it that on the snow plow?
That was a big dump truck.
Yeah. Trying to remember what was it they took out there, get it fixed, something on that.
All then you just shared the cost across the board.
Yeah.
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 Yep. But it was the big dump truck, I think.
I'm trying to remember if it, I want to say it was something that they. I don't remember if it was a computer or something, or injectors or something on it, I can't remember. Regen or some cream on it, I can't remember. I remember talking about it, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I remember giving the approval to take it out there, I can't remember what it was. I think it was a regen.
That's what I'm thinking, is a regen or something, but something in that lines of.
Yeah.
All that mess.
I got a question about on cast tires. Well, we got two of them here, one for $4,546.
What page is that?
It's on page 15. And then we got one down here for $2,889.
I think.
One was for the dump truck.
I think some of them were on the back of three of them. They redid the back of tires. Which one then? I don't know which one of those was the deal.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, because on the back, there's still not all tires on the back.
Oh, is there?
Yes.
They might be in the shop still. I don't know if they've changed them yet, but I know they bought them, I know they've got some new ones for it.
Okay, well, maybe that's, yeah, because I know tires are expensive, wow, they're gone.
Yeah. I just know I saw them unloading them the one day, and I asked if they were four.
I said, I have that, I need to.
Tires have gone up horribly lately. Not like everything else, I guess, everything's.
I was reading someplace where it said it took 8 barrels of oil to make a 16-inch tire.
What was the irrigation assessment on the Pleasant Creek irrigation for $11,000?
The normal, and then they charge us for a permit.
Shane was gonna talk to him a little about that.
Before we pay it?
Yeah, it's already been paid.
Where's that at?
Sorry, page 17. That's on, toward the top, Pleasant Creek Irrigation Company. Apparently we paid $11,000 to them for a permit?
The permit was like $7,800, the rest was our irrigation assessment.
Is it permit that deals with the city, or is it something for?
That was why Shane was gonna go talk to him.
It was something to do with the hydro.
So is it part of the hydro, or is it part of the line that goes to the farmers?
That's what Shane.
That's what we were gonna talk.
Shane's gonna have a look into it and talk to him about it. It was my fault I got paid, because I just assumed that they had talked to the city, so I've worked it out with Shane. Shane's gonna go talk to him, and they're gonna get it figured out, it just hasn't happened.
Just haven't happened yet.
So we've already put a down payment on the flash rate, huh?
Yes.
Do they do that, how long does that take, just take? They have to shut it down for just a day or two?
It'll be shut down for a month.
A month?
A month it takes.
Wow.
That's one there that I seen it today and I thought about it, but I thought, it's not like a prep job they have to do. When they get ready to do it, they'll bring everything down and they'll plaster that pool.
It's like we had to put a down payment on to get on their schedule.
Oh.
Basically, so now we're locked into that date.
Okay, and that price.
And that price.
Okay, is that subject to go up?
Yeah. So that's what it was, once they received the down payment, then we were locked into the date and the price.
Okay.
What is that, Janie, do you know on page 18, what's Southern Tire Mart? I've never heard of them.
That was, I know I questioned the culture on that one too, now I can't, you asked.
800, is it tires?
Prep shop, construction job, something like that.
Is it a?
I don't know, it says $789, it says more tires, I don't know.
Southern Tire.
I've never heard of them.
Well, you gotta take it.
They're out of like severe.
Even for this, I tried down.
A different area.
I asked the culture on the other ones from Jack's Tire, he said so, but they were for the backhoe and Austin's truck, the other tires, and GCR will be here tomorrow to put the ones on the backhoe. Now I'll ask you about them.
Are we satisfied?
Correct, yes.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve the claims registered date of 11/18/2022 to 12/9/2022 in amount of $503,338.30.
I'll second it.
Yes, motion by Paul, seconded by Sam to approve the claim registered date of 11/18/2022 to 12/9/2022 in amount of $503,338.80.
That's in a month.
Roll call.
Okay, really quick, before I do that, culture said the Southern Tire Mart one was for, they're also that company GCR, they had to come fix the loader tire that had come off.
Okay.
Off the bed, or he said bead, but I think.
Bead.
Yeah.
Must have been on the case.
Now I'll do the roll call, sorry, here's what I'd like you to know.
Thanks, Janie.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
All right, requisitions from the fire department, vendor is Anixter. Requisition number 12082022031. Looks like it's a bunch of transformers. And the dollar amount of $67,676.72. How far out are these, Cameron?
I was just wondering, same thing.
They were ones that we ordered quite a long time ago, and so they've got them in, they're just waiting for the PO now. And with this one, they were telling me now, good luck getting some. So, yeah, I don't know when we're getting any more now. Good luck out and so.
I'll make the motion. Approve requisition 12082022031. To the Anixter, amount of $67,676.72.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion by Rodney and second by.
Person.
Excuse me, motion made by Sam, seconded by Rodney to approve requisition 12082022031 to Anixter for transformers. The dollar amount of $67,676.72. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Next is requisition 12820220237 to Altel for $10,141.02. This repairs on the bucket truck.
I'll make a motion to approve request number 12820220237, an amount of $10,141.02.
I'll second it. Have they fixed it yet, or is it just your estimate?
No, we fixed it.
You're good. I just wondered if that was...
If we don't fix it when they check it, then they red tag it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was just wondering if it was down, if it was gonna be down, or if it was already down.
He was able to get the parts pretty quick.
Pretty quick and get it done.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Sam to approve requisition 12820220237. The dollar amount of $10,141.02. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
And that was it, right?
Yep.
All right. Next discussion action on the sewer line to the cemetery.
There's one for $67,000.
That's the first one we done.
Oh, did you do all that already?
Uh-huh.
I was looking sure about it.
Could we get us estimates on what those sewer lines would be?
Well, we've got the one that we're not going for Memorial. I guess we will if we... Rich is on hold right now, by the way.
Yeah.
So we're... I don't quite... Is it the two separate bids here?
So the one is if we just go over to the... if we went over to do the memorial, or over to do the cemetery. And the other is if it runs up to the high school.
We wouldn't do the one going up to high school ourselves.
No.
Right? That'd be on... That should be on them fixed, damn it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're gonna pay the money on this.
So which one's which, I guess?
Well, the $101,000 is the one going up to the high school.
Well, look at the footages.
But they're the exact same. That's why I was curious.
Yeah, mine's the same too.
Yeah, both of them are exact on the quantity. Yeah. If you look over, everything's exact. Well, except for the very top one, which is a manhole stack. One shows 5, one shows 6. But I think that's a type. Might be a typo because the pricing's off.
Well, one thing that Colter wanted me to bring up to discuss, because the school district wants a price. How do we rate this cost up? How do we rate the cost up?
Between us and the school district.
I would just have the school district pay for from that manhole to that manhole.
From Baxter's up, right?
Yeah, and then Baxter's would have to pay for that.
And the material costs. But well, from probably, or from here, from this manhole. Because it's still gonna go down and into the ditch.
So that all we do is the other part.
Well, either that or I split the cost with them. I don't know.
Because that's probably the thing we really need to decide what we're gonna do with that, because...
Well,
the school district had a hard estimate of, you know, how we're gonna split that up if the three of us do it.
The other thing goes back to, in my opinion, is how is it we done with everybody else? I mean, are we now changing the rules because it's a school district? I mean,
it should have been. I would separate Bart from the school.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because they've got to run that anyway.
But do they need help pay to get to the point where we're gonna take off?
No.
Yeah, because it's going up to them anyway.
I think we just need to do from this manhole to there. And that would give us this sewer line.
Oh, I'm sure that was Baxter's?
No, they were just saying.
Baxter's don't need it. They're already up in.
No, the.
They want to build the.
They got this lot.
They want to build on that lot, so they want sewer up there. But then it goes back saying that there's no sewer there now, they should still have to pay.
I think what we should do is just put our line in here for the clean out right here. Then if they want it, if somebody wants to develop that, that's up to them.
You'd have to put a manhole there for them to tie on to.
Oh, you would.
To do it the right way, we should.
Put a clean out right here. If they want to develop this, they would take that clean out. Put your manhole where it shows here and then another manhole up here. All you need to is a clean out here just temporarily until somebody extended that. Rather than putting a manhole here, go into that cost, which is quite a bit of money. That's what we done out to the industrial part there. The trails, we just put a clean out, and then if somebody going to develop that to the north, they need one more sewer lateral. They'll extend that, or would probably extend that where it's the industrial part. But that's, I don't see us holding the expense of doing any kind of above. Let them hire a contractor and do it themselves.
No, we need to do is get the first east, correct, to tie into the bathroom?
Yeah, we need to put a manhole on the corner.
On the east side of first east?
Yeah.
We'd have to adjust on the east side because all the graves have been sold, or the graves have been plotted on the west side and people buried on the west side of the road, so we have to run the sewer line on the east side of the road.
You couldn't do that though, because you can't run your sewer on the same, well. You have to have pretty good distance. You have to measure it out from the water line. You can't have them on a certain distance from each other.
It has to be 10 feet apart.
Yeah, so you've got to make sure you got, if they're going to plot that section out, that it ain't going to interfere. But.
Yeah, it looks to me like you'd have plenty of room. You'd just hug the road.
Just hug the road there.
For that.
The water line runs right there across, right there on the road. Right on the east side of the road. It runs in for all the sprinklers and everything. Plus it ties in right there to the well.
Well, I know for the high school, they say we'll pick up some Baxter's up.
Yeah.
And so how Brent going to feel about picking up the cost to go over to the corner and up to his spot?
Well, if the high school's going to extend it, I'm going to have to work it.
Yeah, well, see,
all you have to do is run it to right here.
Yeah.
And then that would give us.
That would give us our lateral.
And it's up to whoever, Brent or the school district, or maybe Brent and the school district could work something out, but.
Well, they just tried to cut across is what they were trying to do, get the money to, so they had the money in there. See, that was my question earlier when I asked about crossing over there. Where did that, you know, money come from to do that?
Yeah.
Because you're shooting that.
General fund, yeah.
Come out of the general fund to do it.
Come out of the water fund.
Well, whichever one.
Yeah.
But it's.
The impact fees.
But now Sandra, she wants to wait and do a veterans memorial and the rest of them all at once. And see if we can't get donations from citizens and advertise it. And see if we could build a really nice veterans memorial over there.
That would be nice.
With the restroom with it. And so, and I agree with her. I think it would be good. I think
it'd be nice to
kill two birds with one stone. And then like Paul said, the city and Brent would have to worry about after we make the corner right there. That's as far as we have to go right now. And then they too, if they want it in now, they can dig it in now and pay the prices now. I told Mann today that right now, there's no sewer impact fees. But I says, it isn't very far off.
Yeah.
And I said, so your board and stuff might want to decide whether they want to pay the price now. And I think Coulter told Gay Baxter to tell Brett that very same thing. But right now, they could put it in a lot cheaper than they can in 2 years from now. Or a year from now.
I think the price of pipe has softened quite a bit, too.
It's softened?
I think it has.
Yeah.
Looking at these quotes.
They got over the COVID. The pipe got over COVID, or they got a cure for the COVID in the pipe?
Yeah. Crews dropped quite a bit, too.
So do we need any kind of decision on this, I guess?
Yeah, we just kind of, we're saying we're good.
Okay.
But I guess Coulter needs to tell.
He needs one for the city.
To tell what the school, to tell the school district what they'd be looking at price wise to run it off there.
Yeah.
So are you saying from basically where that clean out would be up?
Yep.
Between them and Baxter's? Or do we make them share?
That's where we have to run it to.
Do we three split that, I guess, is Mike and.
Well, and that, I don't, well, yeah.
If we don't do it right now, I guess.
Yeah.
That was my thing, is if we, because if we're putting off and then we're really not moving anything forward on our end, then.
We probably really shouldn't put anything into it, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just an opportunity for us to do it and get it over the corner right now, isn't it? No? Well, if the school and Brett want to do it right now, then we.
Then we go in and help them, we go in and help with the cost to go to our point. Yeah. I think we'd split that three ways to that point and then.
Then from there up.
Then let them, let Brent and the school district pay from above us up. And then from wherever Brent ends, then school district pays.
I agree.
That's what I'd recommend. Kind of split it three ways where we take off and then.
That would help us there and.
Help them.
And then it's 4-inch line. Did he have an 8-inch line going over to the.
Oh, he did.
4-inch?
Well, 542 feet of
4-inch.
That's not even going to be half that.
Well, I think we'll have to put a clean out every 100 feet though, because it's six only 100.
I would suggest 75.
Well, that's what he said. We can't go over 100 feet, because that's all he's wanting, is 100 feet.
Yeah, if you go 75, you're going to cut it off.
And then we'd have to do a clean out, so there'd be a lot of clean outs, which would be a lot of extra pipe there.
Yeah, but he had to go.
That time you go down and add all that extra.
He had to go down over to the memorial.
Sitting above it.
500, 3 feet, but he's got 542 feet.
So is this something we'll put in?
We're going to put in this sewer line? Right here.
I don't know.
I thought I'd have to go right there to the intersection.
No, not that part, but.
I think going to our bathroom.
Go over here.
I don't see why, you don't think it's direct with the.
Over there, I know that we need it.
But if we're going to do the memorial.
Is there a man?
Sam wants to do the memorial, then he's going to be close.
Yeah, we're talking about putting one.
Okay, still in place.
Come all the way up eight.
Next is penny ordinance on solar hookups. Maybe you can display it over me, Cameron, I just know that pending ordinance, Shane would like to put it on because he's having so many solars come in right now. What that basically is it's not really a moratorium, but it's like they have the ability to look at it, each one individually more and say, we're overloaded on this line or not.
We would give ICPE to come and evaluate how it's impacting our system, because Mount Pleasant had more solar hookups than all the other communities put together already. And so we just don't know how, it impacts our system, we just don't know how much. And so before I don't know where they're coming from, but we're getting tons of them. And lots of them we don't even know about. People just put it up and
we
find out after, you know, when our meter tells us, so.
They just hire an electrician to come install it.
Well, they've got them salesmen that have been going around.
And the salesmen are not being 100% honest.
No.
Yeah.
You can get rid of the power bill.
Yeah. So they come in and there's some of these companies that literally tell them that, you know, and these people are upset when they're still getting the bill. That's when we find out sometimes that they have actually got solar. And so they don't have all their required disconnect from our system and everything like that, you know, in some cases.
So where are most of them? Are they outside the city?
Lots of them inside of our city.
So what we need is a resolution telling them that they need to come to the city before they establish.
We already have that resolution, yes. And there's a process to go through, they're supposed to go through.
There's an application online.
Most of them just.
The problem with the resolution is you can't cite anything off of that though, for them going against.
But our, what we would like is just a resolution to put it on hold until we get that system study done.
And that's a pending ordinance.
That's why the pending ordinance.
Because the ordinance, because then the ordinance, you can cite them for going against and you can actually hold them accountable for what they do. Because you can't write a ticket off an order.
Resolution.
But yet if somebody comes.
It's not like we want to write tickets.
Well, no.
We just want to make sure that it's not adversely impacting our system, you know, more than.
Right.
Like if we had to start putting capacitors or different things out on our lines to accommodate that shift in load, you know, I mean, it can affect us quite a few different ways.
But also they should be responsible in doing so, in my opinion, in ordinance. Because if they come back and kill somebody because the power's feeding back through and you guys don't realize it.
Well, and that's another.
You know, that gets into a whole other mess.
I try to explain to some of these people, they're like, well, we're helping out. I'm like, well, not really.
Right.
You know, because they want a true net meter, some of them, where they're getting the same, we're paying them the same rate that we're charging them for power. And I'm like, why would we do that? But I says, the only time that really, your power really benefits us is if you have battery storage or some like the capacity to store that power and feed it at a constant, steady power to us. Otherwise, our system is cleaning up their power. So when the sun comes, the cloud comes by, their system drops. Well, that voltage coming to us drops. So our system has to pick that up and bring it back up and level it out for everybody else. Otherwise, you're going to see flickers and everything else. And so that's where it impacts our system. That's what we would like to get studied, you know, to see if you get too much in certain areas, you can start to adversely affect your whole system there, where you're going to start to see those fluctuations and things like that. But, you know, if you get too much of that going on, if you're putting, I call it dirty power because it's not a constant steady power that's generating a steady, you know, 60 hertz constant all the time, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of factors that can affect it and stuff, and so. So that's why we would just, because we're still getting, I mean, I think Shane's got, I don't know how many right now, and more every day it seems like.
Well, you might be opening up something here that other cities will get into and say, whoa, we might better do the same thing here. Take
well, I know some of them limit, you know.
Well, that's so many years come in.
Yes.
Or have a self-contained system where they generate their power and store it in their batteries and none
and
of
a
it.
A lot do that.
And none of it makes it into our system.
But that's still where we would like, for us, We need to know that because they have to have the proper disconnect from us, the proper transfer switch.
That's where it doesn't go into your
when their system is going online where they're just using their power, it has to disconnect fully from us. Because if our power goes off and they're still feeding back, then they're now feeding back onto our system. That'll go back and the transformers don't care what way, so it'll feed you bad power into your neighbor's house.
Wow.
Feed power out onto our line where we think it's dead and you go up there, you know, and we still test in ground even though the power's out before we start working on it. But I mean, you have the potential where you could have a, you know, accidents or
they have to completely disconnect from our system.
That's what we require. That's why we have
so it's basically just put a freeze on it for
that's
six
what's required by I believe it's a law to have it.
Was it a state law that you have to buy the excess power? We do?
No.
We set up a moratorium on it.
Yeah.
Where we weren't buying any back.
Just
just those that were currently on it at the time that we put the moratorium on were getting it. Everybody else that joined after wasn't. We just barely removed that just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there was a big hiccup on that lawsuit.
Yeah, I remember that, because I was under the assumption that it was kind of like state law that you had to follow.
In fact, municipalities are exempt from that. We are not required to buy that back.
And Utah Power is, or?
Yes, publicly traded companies are.
That's where I bought.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain has to. But they were the same boat. I know they went back to the Public Service Commission to have theirs changed, because at first they weren't charging anything, that was the way it impacted the system. Then they found out real quick that you have to charge something, even though they're, because they still impact your system. They still using your grid.
Yeah.
It sounds good, but they put the power back on. They want that same rate, but they don't want to have to pay for the maintenance of the line that's distributing that power they're generating. They don't want to have to pay for the people that go and, anyways, there's a lot to go into it, so. And, we're not opposed to it. We just want to make sure it's done responsibly and that it does not affect all the rest of our customers.
Do we need to draft an ordinance, or?
So what we basically need to do is just, we have a pending ordinance on all solar hookups.
But we don't have anything in, we don't have any kind of a resolution made up yet for it.
No, it doesn't have to be a resolution. A pending ordinance is just basically, it's a freeze on.
So we just need to make the motion to do a pending ordinance?
Yep, make a motion to do pending ordinance on all solar hookups.
That's easy. I'll make that motion.
Until a study.
The pending ordinance lasts for 6 months.
6 months, and then you can redo it again.
During that time, then we can do the research that they're looking at and do an ordinance of our own or whatever we need to fix
the problem.
It gives us 6 months to get it figured out.
Makes sense.
Okay, so Sam made the motion, seconded by Paul, to approve the pending ordinance on solar hookups. Yeah. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yeah.
Roger?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next is approval of resolution 2022-14A, resolution adopting Mount Pleasant City Wastewater Master Plan. If I need to read this whole thing. Basically back to our discussion with GDB that is awarded. They presented it now, and they can go ahead. Basically with the direction we gave them to go after looking at the building and the head ends and line and pond cell 3.
Well, from what I understand, we can't pursue any grant money or any funding until we pass a resolution.
Yeah, we can't. They can't go after any grant money until we pass this resolution.
Right.
Yes, that's 100% correct.
And I think that I was talking to Dave a little bit, and there's a possibility we might be able to get some grant money for this.
Right now there's a lot of wastewater grant money. Here it is. Anybody want to make a motion to?
Sure, I'll make a motion. So I'll make a motion we pass resolution number 2022-14, a resolution adopting the Mount Pleasant City Wastewater Master Plan.
Second. Okay, I have a motion by Ronnie, seconded by Russell, to approve resolution 2022-14A, a resolution adopting the Mount Pleasant City Wastewater Master Plan. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah.
Ronnie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next is resolution 2022-15, a resolution amending resolution 2022-1, a resolution establishing power rates.
And this comes from that study when you had Don here that talked to you about.
It's that 6.5% increase.
Oh, I'll make a motion. We approve resolution amending resolution 2022-01, the resolution establishing electric power rates.
Second.
We have the motion by Russell, seconded by Sam, to approve resolution 2022-15A, resolution amending resolution 2022-01, a resolution establishing power rates. I guess we ought to put on there too, this takes effect January 1st.
Yeah, that's why I was reading all of it. It states that on the, yeah, on the resolution.
It says on the resolution, but just as far as.
Just as far as.
Yeah. That ought to be put on as amendments. Okay, roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Robbie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Next is a resolution 2022-16, a resolution amending resolution 2022-02, setting culinary water rates within and outside of the multiple boundaries of Mount Pleasant City.
Well, I noticed on this one, it says it would take effect on the first day of January 2022. So that needs to be 23.
Okay. This one says 23 of mine on the back.
I think you updated that since we threw the others away and you didn't get it. Because Kohler had us changed this afternoon, one thing that we'd missed. A deposit for the meters that clicks on your fire.
23.
Like I said, we
well, it says 23 there, but down here it says.
Hold on, I'll make sure.
Okay, take it back to the, okay. One place it says 23 and one place it says 22, you're right.
Yes. What, my question with this is, I guess, in my opinion, is with the treatment plant and all that coming up, is it more advisable to wait to find out what our rates are going to be there? Because otherwise you're going to have to re-rate, and then you're going to have to re-rate again.
We're going to have to re-rate. Well, we figured if we done it in smaller steps, it would be harder, less. Otherwise, it's going to be probably a $10 or $12 rate increase at one time.
As far as the women in the front office, the other philosophy is if we do them both at the same time, we only get angry people once.
Well, yeah.
If we do them separately, we get angry people twice.
Well, we knew when we approved this culinary water improvement project, there'd be a rate increase.
Yes.
Yeah. And obviously, we need to develop more source. So. And station our impact fee.
We're hoping by increasing it here to $2 now, and we've already increased it $2, and the offset of our impact fees, that again, we might only have to do another small one.
Okay. A good day.
Instead of doing a great big one, that was our thinking behind this.
All right.
Because the power is going to have to be increased again, too, according to that study.
Yeah.
Seems like that was a 7-year plan, maybe, or a 5-year plan. That.
I can remember in the public hearing, there was some concerns about people that are already here paying for the new ones moving in.
Yeah.
And that's when we brought up the fact that there was impact fees was going to make that difference up.
Mm-hmm. It's going to help.
And I remember that coming up, one of the issues.
Well, part of that, like even the new well we just purchased, that probably adds $5 a month to everybody's water bill for those water rides.
Well, and you have an aging infrastructure, you've got to, you know, it's not going to last forever.
Anybody want to make the motion?
Make a motion. Make a motion that we approve resolution, let's see, Mount Pleasant City Resolution 22-16, the resolution amending resolution 2022-02, setting culinary water rates within and outside of the municipal boundaries of Mount Pleasant City to become effective on the first day of January 2023.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell, seconded by Paul, to approve the resolution 2022-16, resolution amending resolution 2022-02, setting culinary water rates within and outside of the municipal boundaries of Mount Pleasant City.
Actually, District 2.
Taking effect first of January 2023. Roll call.
Hello, Mr. Stuckenberg.
Paul.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
And Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think you have any public participation.
I don't think so either.
You didn't see that, you didn't see all those people? You missed all those people.
Has John texted you or anything, or?
He has, he said he left room, he said he thought he'd be here about 8. But then he texted a minute later and said that it might be a little later because the roads are not very good. That was at 7:15.
Well, Bonnie, you'll be here.
Guess you'll report to the mayor.
We can just record it and watch it at home.
He does say you can go by phone if you wanted to.
He'll be in the canyon, or he'll be able to get to it.
He might be in the canyon already.
Do we need to make a motion to bypass him and go to council reports, or?
Just could do that, and then we don't have to do anything after.
And then when he gets here, hopefully we'll be all done with everything.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that.
I guess just kind of amend the agenda.
Yeah, I think you're good.
Let's go ahead and amend the agenda tonight, go to the council reports, and hopefully he'll be here by the end of the council reports. Is that all right?
And we're good.
Okay, Lynn.
Yeah, everything's going pretty good up there from the rec center. She had that, they did seal those leaks in the roof, and she had a little bit of a leak over there on the northwest side, but out of this storm stuff hasn't leaked, so I've been watching it, so. So, and then, like on that snowplow stuff, I mean, that's a lot of money, and so, like, what happened to it? The bolts bounced loose or something, a pin come out, because they was plowing. Because them pins, I mean, they go in and they got springs to hold the pin. And it also turned. I know I had mine come off up to work. I was floored, but it came off. So I've talked to, I mean, Rax has got 10 of them, and he's never had that happen to him before. He tore it that bad. I mean, that's.
Is it repairable that we could maybe put some money into it and sell it? Or keep it as a backup, or is it just beyond repair?
I haven't seen it personally, I've just seen the picture, so.
Yeah. That was pretty damaged from my understanding.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Either way, I'm sure we could still sell the plow part, because it was still, you know, the hookups and the ram, not bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite a light.
Who was driving it? Was one of the new hire or new younger kids or?
I don't know.
Not sure either. I mean, none of our guys are really new hires, or they all have experience doing them.
I can tell you from experience, when you're using stuff, shit happens.
Yep.
Trying to find fault in something versus just accepting something happened and it broke. I mean,
I know it's an old original plow.
It's an old original plow. That thing's been on there from when they bought the, when it was original with the truck, and it's in, I mean, it's...
That's kind of what I thought when I got the tape measure, I go, well, stuff happens, it's happened to me.
Yep.
Well, that's the attitude, okay.
I know we had to do a lot of work when you got stuck out to the...
I was just wondering, maybe the thing had to be cleaning down or something like that, if it was some of the younger ones that hadn't done it.
No, I think that was not experienced.
I wasn't trying to throw blame at anybody, I was just thinking of the...
I was just trying to see if it...
And, yeah, I think you could probably compensate for...
I don't know, I...
I think the blade itself, you could probably get, you know, I'm sure you could salvage it and sell it, or...
Sell the blade.
I'm sure you could, make a little money back on it.
Have to go take a look at it, I guess the town can maybe see what we think.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, it's up to the city yard.
Yeah, take a look, and then we know.
But, yeah, that was kind of a deal where we stuck between a rock and a hard place. We know the storms are coming in, you know, and you gotta do something, take care of our streets, so... But, yeah.
Well, I rode around this morning, and rode around the other day when that storm hit, and these guys have done a pretty darn good job of getting things cleaned up. This out front here, I was surprised at it, right in front of the building here, could've run up, cleaned that up a little bit better.
I noticed they've been pushing the sidewalks, and that's good.
Yeah.
That's something you can't...
Well, this out here, if you've got people coming in the city building, and that's not cleaned up, and somebody slips on that curb out there coming into this building, it's not a good thing. That was my point tonight.
There's somebody falling over that, use that sidewalk on Fourth East, put them on Fourth Street.
You're gonna get over there.
It's amazing how many kids walk school.
Who's on the other side of the road, though?
No, well, yeah, I was over by Brothers.
That place, yeah.
Well, Sherry, maybe you can do a little bit better job that way, of making sure that their gutters are clean, so people...
I wish these public buildings, yeah.
Yeah, in the public building, and getting it cleaned up, so they can get up over.
I wish some of our businesses would help us a little bit, too. I think they rely on the city guys to come through there with their tractor too much, too, 'cause...
Yeah.
Kyle Samuels does, he gets his cleaned up good.
Yeah, there's some that do, and others that's, you know what I'm saying, it's like, some of those businesses need to help a little bit, too.
Yep, there's the farm, she had to climb over a snowbank, that State Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hadn't been out there and shoveled, so, there's enough for him to go down, but I just noticed that tonight, I thought, well, that could've been cleaned up a little bit better, to get down to them gutters to... I know, I see Coulter out there to the industrial park, and out there by Blackhawk, and he was right in next to the gutter cleaning that up, really good.
See, part of the trouble here is the state road plows Main Street.
Yeah, but once they push it, that's the sidewalk.
Well, it's our public building, they clean it up, get it.
And then every so often...
Use that little tractor and just push it up around the corner, or push it...
They come in with a big loader and haul it off, is what they do.
Yeah.
Well, we used to take it, 450, and we used to come, when Cass is here, he'd take and push it up around the corner. So we don't take whoever's running in, we don't take a minute for him to come and hit this from the fire station, push it up around the corner.
Well, and part of, like, when I slipped yesterday, part of the problem is on the little corners where you're gonna cross the street, it has snow buildup, you have to slip over it, it was slippery, my feet, and that was on all four corners, none of them were cleaned out from the snow around it.
That's maybe where the tractor and the 450 would work in conjunction to, that little tractor push it out, and the 450 could look to move it around. But...
That's the only thing I see.
You're done.
Yeah. Paul, what do you have?
I was just gonna ask Ron, is everything in order up to the trailer park?
Aspen Village.
Aspen Village, or, can we put bids out now, or is it too early, or...
Well, I talked to Dave a little bit about this yesterday, and the engineer has come back with some crazy numbers. Like $600,000. And so we need, so what I've done is I've emailed him the bid that we got. I think you got a bid from Coughlin, and I got a bid from LiveTech. So I sent those bids in to Dave, and he's going to use them in one way or another with the engineers to show that, hey, you know, it's being way over engineered right now. So we're trying to scale back that engineering. And we did get the deed for that lot, so we can use that for stormwater storage. But he's worked with the engineers on that, and I need to get some more information from him also. But I did send, you know, those bids are a year old, but he can use them. Sunrise.
That's what's crazy is because, see, they had already engineered it when we put the water line in there.
So we got to figure out.
Back at, what was it, 75 at the time to pave it?
75,000?
I think it was. Or maybe it was 90. It might have been 90.
Yeah. And they're saying 600,000.
Yeah.
Well, I know they'd have to go in and grade it. Whoever doesn't, they'd have to regrade it because, and take what asphalt's there out because if you didn't, it'd be too high in spots, low in spots.
Does that include curb and gutter or something?
Yeah, it's curb and gutter.
I'm not sure the details of what the engineers, how they come up with that. You know,
and if you're putting curb and gutter in, that's pretty pricey. That might be where a big chunk of the cost is coming from, I'm wondering.
I don't think it is. I think it's just the asphalt, and that's what.
That's just asphalt only.
We couldn't figure out why they was coming into that line.
So anyway, I submitted some estimates that we had that were right around $100,000 for that project. And so he was going to get with the engineers and show them some of these estimates. And I want to know where the discrepancy is here. $500,000 discrepancy, you know, so that's kind of where we're at with that. We're working the engineers, trying to, with it being a grant, it does need to, you know, it has to be engineered, so we're trying to get that back down to planet Earth. So, and I need to spend some more time with Dave.
I think all the engineer would have to do is come in there and shoot grades. To, like you're saying, you know, how much you cut here and how much you cut there, really.
We kind of, and we do need a plan for that stormwater storage, you know, whether it's just an underground vault or just a little basin.
It'll be a basin.
I can't imagine we don't get that much rain around here. I mean, yeah, we get some good thunderstorms occasionally, but.
I don't think they need to engineer that. I don't know why they would.
Yeah. And I can't answer. I mean, I think just a basin for that water to run into would be serve the purpose of storing stormwater. So
when they give the estimation, there's no breakdown as to what the.
I haven't seen the estimate or what how they broke down that 600,000. Other than just talking to Dave on the phone.
Yeah, and then they'd know whether or not they engineered a basin or what, where they're talking all that money.
So he's going to get back with them with those estimates. And he spent some more time talking about it. Because I did call him and ask him if we're ready to start getting estimates on that. And that was the big road bump we ran into was the engineering. So
I just don't want to sit and go on.
No, it needs to be like the top of the list. As soon as it's warm enough, I mean, I would love to see those.
I wonder if he's,
how much money we got to work it?
I think the grant was 65.
I think that's what it was, 65.
65,000. So the rest will come out of our road budget.
That's roads. A long way from 600,000.
Well, we was paving.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned,
the road budget get hit for about $550,000.
Yeah, well, look what all we paid. What was it this year?
We was paying $25,000 a block. It was probably closer to 30 with the fuel surcharges.
Still, you don't have to talk.
And your estimate that you got from Coughlin and the ones I got from LiveTech, you know, right around $100,000.
Coughlin they're not doing it anymore.
I think I even seen one from Hells where they could do an inch and a half overlay for...
Not making anything out of it.
I think around 70. Whether or not that'd be accepted by the people that wrote the grant or the...
What's the engineer's cost, miss? How much are they charging?
Yeah, I don't know. I need to see a breakdown. If Dave even has that.
That's what's scary, is that there's cost on top of it.
Oh, boy. I'll ask Dave, who's that with it? Because JUP's going to be in town again Friday.
It shouldn't cost more, in my mind.
So far, he's only had it engineered once.
I can't imagine it being much more than $100,000 to, you know, maybe the high end, around $150,000. But that's number one priority in my mind, is we got to get those roads in there done after we went and installed all those water services, and it's horrible.
Has those solar lights been ordered, Cameron, do you know, for up in there? Yeah, that'd make a big difference up there, to get the water done and the roads and the lights in there, that'd really help that place a lot.
So when we...
Get Matthew Larson or clean all his junk.
Yeah, that's another issue, is we gotta be careful with these people who order this grant money. You know, they don't come in here and look at...
The trash that's there.
Things like this where we're not enforcing ordinances and...
I'm gonna go have a talk with Matthew and see.
It's spilling out of the road, it's a fire, it's a commercial operation in a residential area here.
Well, at one lot, he's stacking everything on, the guy that owns it, letting it.
They have a business license?
Pardon?
Is this a business being run up in Aspen?
Oh.
Firewood business, yeah.
Firewood, yeah.
Well, he should have a business license, I don't believe he does.
It's not the place to be having a firewood business, so, I mean... No, and we need to resolve that issue.
I don't know what, it's a mess up there. It's a mess, and I understand people are poor and they don't have any way else to do what you do, to try to help them. That's why I was puzzled about, I mean, here we're hitting with $550,000 extra. And I was looking for $50,000 for a sewer line, and I'm going. I brought this through my mind, I just can't wrap my head around it.
That's all right.
Yeah, and I hopefully answered some of your question, but I do need to just research it some more. I just had a conversation with Dave yesterday to follow up with him, and I need to get some more information and something in writing, you know, that we can look at, so.
If you need any help, I can help you out.
And he was sick, super sick, so I kind of felt bad about interrogating him half the time. Because he sounded horrible, and I need to revisit that soon, because...
They sent him home right afterwards.
I sent him home yesterday.
I think he was sick today.
Again, and that's number one priority for me, is to get that taken care of. That's top of the list, so.
Russ, what do you have? I don't have a lot of what we talked about today. There's probably a petition coming down. People want 24-hour coverage with our police officers. Said there's some stuff going on over at the Maverick at night, and it's coming from kids writing on kids' drug sales and everything. And parents are getting concerned and whatnot. They've approached old Boots about how they would write about. So I know that's coming down the pike. they were told that we were paying our officers on graveyard to set it home. And I told them I doubted that, and I'll get back to them on that and tell them that's not so at all. I don't give out names to these people that come to me. I just, Boots is one that they went to him. He's not the one that's in the middle of this. They just went to him to see if he'd help them fill out a petition and word it right and everything, so. But I think it's coming, and I agree myself personally. I think we need 24 hours. We're growing. And you live on State Street, like I told the mayor, and you hear it going all night long, and you hear them take off out of town. I mean, they jump on it over there by the high school. There's cars that go by my place at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're right at, they gotta be 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Busting out of town and things like that. Then the noise going on. Long time ago, Kevin Bradshaw approached me about it. Because we had a lot of trouble down there at the church. Kids down there, just, now they're doing dinos in the snow. And in the summer, it's just, they're down there just burning their tires up.
Down in the contour too.
Yeah. And I saw a couple of them up there, but.
So on the church, I have learned one thing, is the church has got to hang signs there. Our police officers can go run them off, but they can't sign them unless there's signs saying.
Yeah, I talked
to President Ricks a little bit about that.
I did too. I talked to him about putting dates up, but
there's so many meetings. Yeah, he needs the signs, and then the police officer can enforce it.
So.
And then one other thing, when you talked about Maverick and this coalition that we have every month with the drugs and the suicide and everything else, they talked about Maverick, especially about the shoulder tapping. The kids have got a way they shoulder tap to buy drugs and booze and everything else in Maverick. They know who certain people, and they go up and tap them a certain way on their shoulder, and they buy them their drugs and their booze and everything else.
Yeah. Well, I told you about that drug task force guy.
Yeah.
And so, I know they're being watched, but
it takes a long time.
Well, that's frustrating. Because
I don't know what it would take
to run. I don't want my wife and kids, you know, they should feel comfortable going to the Maverick after midnight.
Yeah, if it's going to be open 24 hours.
And Mount Pleasant, that should be a safe place.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, and they talked about response times. They have to call them out of the house, how long it takes to get it, where if they was out on the, in the car. The response time would be so much quicker.
I know the downfall to that, as we've had it in the past, is then our officers always get called to other cities that don't have them, and so they're not here anyway. And so that's
my biggest worry.
And I don't know how you correct that problem.
The county will take advantage of knowing that.
Yeah, and they have.
Because I think the county's took advantage of Nate lately as far as doing some investigation work, mm-hmm. too.
So, I mean, I don't know how you correct that. You really don't. I don't know.
Well, I think but if they're working for us and we're paying the bill for them, the number one concern is this city right here.
Yeah.
We do. The county can hire and pay somebody to do their investigation.
Well, I think that we ought to have it as a, just like a fire. The fire, what the contract we have with the county is that if we have a fire, if we're out on something out there, our priority still comes back to Mount Pleasant, so we respond back to Mount Pleasant as our priority.
I do know we have a pretty good relationship with Fairview, and I know we do help Fairview quite often. Yeah. Fairview comes and helps us quite a bit.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's something that, I don't know, police, if it, we ought to maybe look at, if that's something we're leaning to and pushing, that we ought to have some kind of a clause that, you know what, this is still our priority, that, so be it.
I don't know.
And they'll have to call out a county deputy to the...
I know that I've kind of been the one that's brought up. I wanted a police officer in here for our meetings and everything. I felt like they could sit in here, and if they got called, they could go. But if we think that it can't happen to us here, that a disgruntled citizen come in here and open fire on us, you don't know where it's going to happen. And I know I've been kind of the devil's advocate with, and I hope the police officers don't think that, because I think they're doing pretty darn good job. But...
That would be my suggestion, is to, why not start it off with a discussion with Jim?
That's what I was thinking, we need to...
Jim should be involved in this.
Yeah, absolutely, and see if we can't work. I schedule out to where they can work, so I just told the mayor today, I got a boy that's a police officer for a lot of years, and they've done the report when the downtime, the car went by 100 mile an hour, clicked the computer, and they went and got the car, and they know what they had to do, and they pulled over, and they went ahead and done the report, they caught themselves back up. There's time to do that, and, because that's one of the things they've said, they're so busy with the reports and what they got to fill out, and I know there's an extension, they're extended, they got to cover their old, dot their i's and cross their t's, but...
Well, and I hope the people that live here understand that they can call the sheriff's department and dispatch a deputy, so if they see anything funny going on, you need to understand that they can call dispatch.
I understand the county.
Most of the county deputies are in the south end, it takes them over 30 minutes to get here.
Yeah.
I've experienced that firsthand. Because very rarely do they have a north.
Or do they have like a two?
Yeah.
Covering all counties?
Yeah, they're supposed to have a north and south.
Because that was brought up too. Said, yeah, they cover that south end down there.
Yeah.
Said, I haven't seen a sheriff up here late at night, and it's true.
I do know they're finally redoing the anti-city contract.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I didn't get up to see Brittany today, so after what we covered last council meeting, I kind of figured everything was kind of on the go. Everything was all right, so that's all I got.
Okay. Lundy?
Oh, there's one more thing.
Okay.
Does anybody know what's going on with the drain system? Me and the mayor talked about it up at the high school. NAM claims that they paid $25,000 to have that drain system fixed up there.
At the high school?
Storm drain or sewage?
The water and rain runoff.
Oh, we put a couple of sumps in, but that's it. That's the only thing we've done, because we didn't have any money to... I wanted to pipe it clear down to the ditch down on Main Street.
Truthfully, it shouldn't be coming off their parking lot.
But that's, they should pay, it's their problem, and they should take care of it.
Yeah, well, that's, I just had brought that up because I told her I'd get back with her. I says, I'll leave it up in council tonight and see what, because she wanted to know. And I said, well, I'll just bring it up and get...
This man?
Yeah.
I'd like to do a little more research on that, see what... See if we can...
Yeah, I know, I told her, I says, well, I know, man, that we've been fighting that since I keep the road from washing away and keeping the edges of the road and everything. I said, I don't know what the laws are on it.
Yeah, they paved all those parking lots and they...
Put no drains in them.
Where's the water gonna go? It's gonna run off those and go to the low spot.
Well, I would like to work with them, and if they'd work with us, I understand there's been some little bit of head bumping.
How big a sump is that on that 40 East?
Oh, it's probably about 17 feet deep. It's just, what is it, a 60-inch handle?
5 foot round or...
Need to do a little work around that one. It definitely needs some cement and some stuff to fill it in better and...
But if you look at that when it rains, when it gets a big storm, that'll fill right up and just overflow.
There's no water that comes off of that size of a park.
If it's just a little bit, yeah, it handles this fine, but boy, it'll overwhelm it in a hurry.
I guess there's nobody here tonight can tell us whether that $25,000 came in or not.
We'll go back and do some research on it.
They did, so I remember they put some money on it. But I don't know if we matched it or what, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the...
Dan was the mayor.
Sandra knew a little bit about it today, but now they kind of, they were headed somewhere, so...
This one, Dan was the mayor.
Yeah,
It's after.
He made some deal with them up there. Okay, I'll be quiet now.
Well, I just want to bring up that we did pay to seal that fourplex parking lot. So I think we've been more than cooperative with the school district. We had people in town selling all our, you know, like this, all these parking lots. And
we had Peckham Asphalt seal it.
So we have helped them, so.
Yeah, I know we've done a lot for the city.
I know we paid to reseal that fourplex parking lot.
Schools. See, that's where the water starts, is because the water comes off that around the football field and comes all the way down the football field. And then you dump on the high school parking lots on there also, and it goes down and the.
And maybe they.
All those other parking lots keep dumping on it.
The elementary, all the elementary.
Comes up right to the seventh south too, doesn't it?
Anyway.
Yeah, I can see with that elementary parking lot, that'd run right straight out on there. Because then it dips, when it comes out, then it dips back to the south and down.
Anytime you have a lot of pavement and curb and gutter, the water's going to follow that curb and gutter and it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, it's pretty steep over there too.
There's more than the money like Southern County does. Curb and gutter, it's a huge storm there and everything.
I know, it's kind of what we're worried about.
Would be nice, I would. Must get ahead of them with that police deal too. Let's sit down with Jim and see what he thinks. Now let's get ahead of them so we're not. See we're doing something with it.
Then I just had that roadway management tool that we, I guess bought from Sunrise Engineering. That's pretty much been implemented. We're just working out a few little details on our roadmap. We want to make sure this roadmap's real accurate because I think you can only apply for these UDOT Class B and Class C road funds annually.
Yeah.
So we're just finalizing that roadmap now and then we'll submit our application for the Class B and Class C road UDOT funding. So, and that system's pretty much implemented now, so we are using it and it's great because we can go in there and we can do all the editing and adding things, you know, in-house. We don't have to call someone on the phone and then they do it for us. I think it's going to be a positive thing for us and we're real close to having a map ready to submit, so.
We was missing a couple of miles, wasn't we?
Yeah, there's quite a few missing. It hadn't been updated in a few years and.
Probably 2008, 2009, somewhere in that area. It's the last time it's been updated.
This allows us to go in and update. You know, we can go in there and do that in-house, which makes it a lot more efficient and accurate.
Should help our road money coming in too an awful lot.
Getting that updated. And I think you can mark water valves, fire hydrants. There's a lot of things we can use that for. When we add a new hydrant or water valve or manhole, sewer manhole, we can put this on this road management tool program. It's going to be valuable for all of us, I think. So.
That will be good.
I'm kind of impressed how fast they got it implemented, but they came and got it set up and so I just wanted to make mention of that. I think that's all I have.
Sam?
I'm going to just kind of, I don't know, we need to figure out, I think we really need to look at doing a mechanic for the city. I think we need a full-time mechanic. So I think money that we're spending out and everything else, and just, I know the fire stuff, it's, you know, trying to get services, trying to get stuff that's broken. We just need to, we're just paying enough people to help do it. So I don't, I think there's enough equipment the city owns, and I think between all the vehicles and all the equipment, I think there's plenty need to have a mechanic. I don't know which, I mean, granted, you guys probably just minus your power stuff, but your trucks and all that, are you guys servicing them here, or are they going out?
We've been taking them for real, or over the mill.
I mean, we could probably take fire trucks somewhere like that, but then you're on the risk of...
Out of town.
You know, there's a lot. I don't know, I think we really need to look at it.
When something needs to be fixed, they don't have time and they can't do it, they hire somebody anyway.
So...
I think it'd be good.
I know we pay enough for maintenance on it, that you could probably justify a full-time mechanic.
I see what we spend on tire repairs and stuff like that. We got everything we need up there to change tires and buy new tires and put them on up there rather than paying somebody else.
What, I don't know, is police taking theirs somewhere else as well to get serviced, I think? I'm sure they're...
I don't know. Once in a while, I see them up there, so...
They've done some.
That's going to make us really...
It just depends on...
Big, long project, if you take them out somewhere else, but they've been doing this up there.
I just think they're understaffed as it is, I just think trying to add mechanic on top of it is more than what they can handle.
You're not going to get a good mechanic in here for $14 an hour.
Well, no.
I was going to say...
No.
Yeah, it's something probably need to think about.
Some of the diesels and everything, yeah.
You know.
They're not cheap.
No, but, you know, on Christmas here, they give him his wage, but then they also give him a tool stipend to kind of offset his wage so that he can buy tools and stuff that, you know, so that may be something you look at as well.
Kind of, I just say that because I know we're going to have to pay mechanic wages.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, it's something I personally think we really ought to look at. I mean, just with leaving all the equipment at the arena and everywhere, I mean, it's, you got equipment scattered everywhere that could be, you know, everything from...
Yeah. Well, with that pin, maybe he would have caught it.
You know.
Well, on that plow, you know, maybe it was destroyed too much to be fixed, but...
Yeah.
That's something that they might have been able to get a torch.
Well, ain't much they can do with a welder and a cutting torch. You can put things together. I'm going to go up tomorrow, take a look at it, and see. Did it damage the truck?
No. No, it didn't damage the truck.
So we bought a truck and plow?
No, just the plow.
Oh, I thought it was a truck with a plow on it for that grass.
We just took our truck up and put a new plow on it. So, I mean, it's damn expensive.
$8,000, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was $8,000, yeah. That's one of the only ones you could even find in the state, too.
Yeah.
You have anything else, Sam?
No, that's kind of my big thing, I guess. You know, even the lawnmowers, you could probably do, you know, work on the mowers in the winter, get them up and ready for the spring. I think there's just a huge benefit. You know, I don't know where funding is, but I think it would just be a huge benefit back to the city. So...
I agree with you.
So, I don't know if we could, I'd like to say, I...
I don't know how the others feel about it, but I agree with it.
We had a good little mechanic.
Is that something we bring up at our, when we approve a annual budget? Do we put that on the list, or...
Yeah, you need to budget it in.
Yeah. It'd be hard to do before, I mean...
It'll be here before you even know what time for budget again.
Yeah.
6 months away.
I want to say May, June, we start looking at...
Yeah, so...
I
that's just my biggest concern, in all honesty. I mean, it's...
Okay. Couple things I had. Thank everybody for the Christmas lighting program. I think that went very well. We had a meeting with Devin on the driller for the well. Kevin didn't see any problem with doing a change order on just letting High Plains drill it, so they're supposed to be giving us a price back, because there was a question of whether or not the contract was legal to even do a change order. So we did have that meeting this last couple of weeks. Kevin thought it was fine to do a change order, but it still has to go through NRC, or not NRC, rural development to approve it too. So that's kind of where that's at. Speed excavation, I've got us their insurance. I think they've got everything lined up to... I'm not sure if rural development's approved everything on that part of it or not. That's the worst part, is getting them to approve stuff.
Yeah. They did have to pick on it.
Yes. Yep.
I kind of worry about some of these companies that are kind of new. I've seen it too many times. They don't finish a job, they walk away from it.
Yeah, so we have that bond in place to,
have that bond
to cover it. Yeah. And they're hoping to get the treatment plant out to bid in January, which I can't believe it's taken that long.
Well, I'm puzzled on the irrigation system. I mean, it's... Yeah.
I know. Where are they at? Where did you be with it?
I mean, so it's, they've applied for that other, I wish I could remember the letters, CSI? ESI. To where there's no cap. The way it was originally filed, we had a cap of $25 million is all the funding we could get.
We're way above that now.
So they refiled it, and that was, they did tell us that it would take at least 5 months to get through the NRCS. That 5 months should be coming up pretty quick. So, yeah.
Yeah. If it goes on a couple more years, then they'll have to go through it all again.
Well, can we say some of the progress they've made? The engine, or the environmental studies and the...
Yeah, all that's done.
We don't have to redo it.
No. No. Okay. It rolls over to the deal. So all those things they've done is...
I think when I come in,
because we paid for it, that was going to be ready to roll 2023. Spring of 2023, we were going to be putting in a new irrigation system.
Yeah.
And that's hard to put out on the road money. Because you don't want to put any roads. You're kind of holding our roads hostage, because you'd hate to put in, you know, go get some grants and road money and redo our roads again.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because...
I think when they cut through these roads, I think we need to have them flowable filled so we don't get any settlement whatsoever.
Yep.
That's the key. That's what happens. You watch these guys cross the roads, yeah, they'll compact it, but I never see them add water.
No.
You never... And water is so critical to compaction. If you put dry material back in, you're not going to get the compaction you need.
No.
Happens time and time again.
I think you could add that into our stuff. So. That wouldn't be a big deal.
Well, I know Justin wrote up a new excavation permit. And it seems like they couldn't even dig across a brand new road. If it was more than 3 years.
Hydration compactors or something that way.
But that, and I think there's wording in there that the inspector needs to be present during the backfill process or flowable fill.
Well, I think they need to have a testing firm to take compaction.
Yeah, so. Density testing. Maybe I need to start a density testing business.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
throwing it away.
And pound stakes in the dirt and dirt on my nuke.
Yep. And just update on the new well, we purchased the, purchased some shares, the other shares will be purchased the first week of January on the new well. So that's a real one.
Did we let the bid out for that, to bring that up, didn't we?
Yep, it's been awarded and everything else.
So when they're gonna start on that, you know?
As soon as they get the pipe. So. So yeah, hopefully we'll have water.
Who got the bid then?
That, Olson's. That's why we gotta make sure we get the right bond.
I hope you do. I think it's gonna be a nightmare regardless. Even if you had a bond, it's still gonna be a nightmare.
The references were half and half.
I've seen firsthand his work. It's not good. It's not good.
Where's this Olson, where's he at?
He used to live here in town.
Sterling.
Yeah.
Son or?
Yeah.
Son or daughter?
Son, it's his son.
Is Jake Olson's boy?
No, Craig.
Craig. Who's Jason Olson's guy?
You, I don't know if you ever knew, I remember his mom's, Craig's mom's name, the heck was her name? Jean. Jean Olson and, I'm trying to remember the husband's name.
John, did I text you anything?
He's hitting Fairview.
Few minutes away.
Few minutes away.
I got one thing.
Okay.
Have they ever entertained to get a, like an animal control officer? If they're not gonna patrol all night. You can call the sheriff's office and talk dogs barking and things like that, and they don't respond in the night.
Not our officers will come talk to them the next day.
I don't know. I thought that was part of your job description. I thought that was part of your job description.
Oh, I liked it, but I'm pretty sure they'd be coming to my house to haul me away. No, after I kill their dog, the name is.
You got a barker down there, girl, are you?
One neighbor has four. The other neighbor has four. The other neighbor up there has three.
Security.
The one down there has another one. It's unreal.
Well, I think there's an ordinance.
There is, but.
There is, but again, we don't have enough to enforce it all. We don't enforce a lot of things.
Dogs everywhere.
I know my neighbors next door, next night, that dog is there now. They come out and guard it, and they're locking the garage for about a month and a half. You hear them barking in the garage. They never let them out of their shop, now they're out. That one, he's mean.
Probably he's a little close.
Come with me this morning, I turn around, come on, you talk to him, I'll talk to you later.
Hey, I got a couple of things that you guys might be interested in. One is, I don't know if you're aware of it, but Spring City was able to get a flood control grant of almost $6 million that was a 100% grant. I'd have to talk to Mike Black, but it's some kind of a federal thing that they're really pushing hard on now. And my mind immediately went to what they're trying to do with Gooseberry Narrows project, where the way it's set up now, they're going to shoot the water straight into the river. We'll never see a drop of it. If we could do something on a flood control project and they used a water project bringing water across the mountain that they had over there. The big problem has been storage for it. If they could divert that water in the canyon and pipe it down here, what Spring City's done is they've tied this whole thing into a new irrigation reservoir. that they're putting in up northeast of town. And it just bugged me because we're going to lose all of that water out of Gooseberry because of storage capacity issues. If it could be piped down here, it might be a real opportunity for the city to expand the ponds, to expand the flood control up at the mouth of the canyon, and tie that in with that extra water supply that is going to be coming down Fairview Canyon.
That's how we're going to get our whole irrigation system. That's part of, I think, part of the holdup is, until we get the Narrows water worked out, we can't store it until they actually get it worked out. That's where Spring City wins, is because they got the tunnel.
Yeah.
So they can store that water 100% because it's not affected by the cost of creek.
Well, they also already own the land that's not on Forest Service land for the reservoir.
Yeah.
When I saw the presentation on that, I immediately thought of flood control up in the canyon there. If we could get water into that, it would turn into a recreation facility. It would turn into water, you know, for
the city. That's all things we've looked at already. In fact, JUB, I think they addressed that as a flood control to make a bigger reservoir. I don't know where it is.
Part of Spring City's running because of JUB's already done it on Mount Pleasant. Some of this environmental stuff. That's what's speeding them up some, is because they've already done it here. And it qualifies for their project.
So they can piggyback off of Mount Pleasant.
They piggyback off Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, we haven't bought extra property up there.
Yeah.
To expand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, from what I understood, that they'll put a canal across the
Not with what they're trying to do with the Central Water Conservancy District. That water will go straight into the river and won't stop till it gets to Gunnison Reservoir.
So what it is, it's a trade now. It's the way it's coming out, the Narrows. Mm-hmm. It will go down the Sandpitch River like Steve's saying, and then we're able to store out of Pleasant Creek what should have went into the creek, into the Sandpitch.
That's what we're working on now, right?
Yeah.
There's government to diversify.
Because the price for a pipeline to bring that across there.
That was the original plan, was to go to Spring City.
Well, it's on private.
I mean, yeah.
Well, but my thinking on that bull was that if you could somehow cobble that application around to turn it into a flood control project, which is what Spring City did, the grant money was 100%.
So part of ours is that, because our reservoir is supposed to be built to 750 acre feet, we're only able to fill it to 500. The top 250 is flood control. So that's going to be the worst thing with ours, is when it is built, it will never
be full.
Never be full, probably.
Right.
Because of that flood control part that's on there.
You can have it up that high, but it has to be released every so often.
It has, yeah.
You have to have it drop down below that every 24 hours.
Yeah, 30 days. I can't remember how.
Yeah, I think it's a 24-hour period.
It's longer than that. So, I want to say it's like a 3 or 4 day period on a flood type deal.
But
yeah, and then you have to disperse it back down.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could fluctuate it, but it all depends how it all works out anyway.
Even if we trade the water for Birch Creek for the water we get out of Fairview, we still got to release that water if we get
the top
certain percentage. Yes.
Yeah. Over a certain time.
I tell you what, every time I get a chance to hit like Mike Lee's office and Burgess Owens and all those guys, I keep hitting them all the time saying Cox Decree has got to be done with. Something's got. They're floored when they start looking into it. They cannot believe that the Cox Decree is the way it is.
Well, I have a solution to that too. We can just carpet bomb Delta.
Well, that's absolutely right. That old boy from Delta said, you guys were busy building temples and we were busy building canals.
Yep.
Well, and they had a federal judge.
From that.
Tied up all the water rights.
Yeah.
Well, they're talking now with that new power plant over there, it'll use a fraction of the water.
Yeah.
And all that'll just, so all of our water won't even go to benefit us at all, you know, I mean, at least we get a little benefit from the power, but.
Well, I'll tell you what, these last few years, there's very little water that goes out there from here. You look at that river down in Gunnison.
Yeah.
It's dry 11 months of the year.
Well, see, that's what they're, right now, they're doing a big study on the Sand Pitch River of every diversion.
Yep, yeah.
And that's like I always said, it's like, I didn't think there was ever a Sand Pitch River for me from the, maybe from the Manti other than those flood years, you know?
Yeah, there's not enough water in that river down there to.
Yeah.
Their water, colder water comes from the south.
Comes from Water Creek.
Water Creek.
Most of their, they were saying comes out of ground, they pump most of it for the, that power plant.
That's Delta, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that they take it clear from Water Creek down that severe river. So it wasn't just Sand Pitch County that got hit. Somebody was a lot smarter than anybody we had in two counties.
That comes from Water Creek.
Yeah, I was sorry off of it.
Todd's Peak.
Hey, Jeannie.
That's where it starts, going down Todd's Peak.
If I'm wrong.
Just about Canaan, that's where it starts flowing this way.
Seems so weird to me, it flows that way.
And they got it all.
Yeah.
That old Sugar River.
All right.
I never realized how much harm ground there was west of Delta.
There's a ton of it, isn't there?
There's a bunch.
Well, when I went up to Medford, and I come back through there, I thought, wow. I've never been out that far west.
You ever been out looking at the snow geese?
No. I went on the pheasant track there with old Craig Smith, who's the basketball coach over there. He invited me over to go on the pheasant with him one weekend. But I've never been out there and seen all that part of the ground. Well, we're gonna do it, man. We're gonna set weight.
He's in Fairview, I'd like to, but.
You still on graveyard?
I actually got moved over straight day shift. They made downshift straight days. 4/10s. And then they're mandatory, and it's one Friday a month. But it was our turn. 2 years of straight graves, that's it. And that last little, the last 3 months are basically all of fall. We was doing 3/13s straight graves. Three on, three off, three on, three off.
Take you a while to get your schedule back.
And that was.
Order back to normal, huh?
That was.
Yeah, I like graveyard. You got to sleep some.
10's fine, but 13.
A little mat.
I couldn't sleep in the daytime, so that's my problem. I just.
You can't tell me the miner don't get a little mat too.
Who's? Who?
Miners.
I don't
say.
That's got no map on the grave yet?
No.
Where's Myron's calling?
I did, it was maybe 5 minutes to the kitchen table when I fell asleep, training my dinner.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah, well, down in the mine, I can see it. It wasn't every night, I mean, I got some good nights and I had to work all night too. I liked them because I liked, well, fit into my coaching.
Bob Lillier told me when he worked up to Geneva, he'd go on graveyard. He'd work for about the first 10 minutes, and then they'd go play cards all night long. All night long.
Yeah, there's places there. I used to go over to Hunter to get parts and stuff. I'd go over there and work in that control room.
Hey, it was all,
I mean, they had
masses and all, they were laid out. There's no napping.
It wasn't napping, they were just, they were down for the night.
I think there's.
Get up, you're ready.
Let me home to bed already.
Sorry, thanks for letting me.
Yeah, there's two guys watching.
Can't believe the people.
The rest of them were down on the house. Stuff went down, and they woke them up. They'd have dinner and everything.
We knew that, right?
That'll be quick.
It didn't happen that way, honey.
All right. You guys ready?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
It's not a PR report, that's in big package, page one. The most of the audit report changed this year, different order. The opinions first, and our opinion on the financial statements is unmodified and unqualified opinion. Our basis for our opinion, so we have to follow certain guidelines, so that's the auditing standards, as well as generally accepted auditing standards. Your responsibility, so your responsibility is to make sure that the financial statements are correct, you're doing the financial records the correct way. A new paragraph this year is under responsibilities of management, and that is if during the year, or if you're, as you're preparing for your audit and the financial statements, if there are conditions or events that you identify that would prohibit you from continuing as a going concern, then you have to do analysis to say, you have to identify the events, what's going to happen, can the city overcome that, and then continue on. A good example of that would be COVID. I hate that we go back to, like, COVID is like the new CDC, I mean, we go back to COVID. But that was a big going concern issue, especially in the private sector. But it did affect governments, and so, you know, if everybody lost their job, if we got shut down, we had to stay home, then people don't buy things, you don't get the sales tax revenue, they don't have jobs, so they can't pay the property taxes, things like that that affect you. Then you have to say, okay, what are we going to do? Do we have enough reserves that we can make it through the next year? Or how are we going to come up with money to continue to provide the services that we need to as a city beyond the next 12 months? It just so happens that nobody lost their burger. So the views off, turned out really well. Our responsibilities, so this is a new section with the bullet points. We just have to communicate as part of the audit report now. We have to exercise professional judgment and professional skepticism. I tell my guys all the time that it's trust but verify, so we think you're doing what's right, we know you're doing a good job. Our job is to verify what you've already done. We have to identify and assess the risk and material misstatement in the financial statements. We'll talk a little bit about risks a little bit later. We have to look at your internal controls. That's not new, you guys know that. We look at how you treat the accounting principles and how you apply them and make sure that it's appropriate, that you're using the right accounting principles, that you're following GAAP, things like that. And then that last bullet point is if during our audit procedures we also identify conditions or events that would prohibit you from continuing as a going concern, then we also have to do our own analysis. And the first thing we would do is ask for your analysis, and then we would perform our own analysis to make sure that we feel comfortable that you can continue as a going concern. So that's new. Require supplementary information. Just remember that there are sections of financial statements that don't fall under our opinion, and that's the management discussion analysis that immediately follows the audit report. And then right after the notes of the financial statements, there's a section called required supplementary information. So those two sections are not considered part of the basic financial statements, but GASB says that they always have to be with the financial statements because they give them more readability and understandability. So if you don't like getting caught in the financial numbers and you don't like getting in the weeds, then read the management discussion analysis. That's kind of the Reader's Digest version of what's in the financial statements. It has a lot of comparative data, how the city's doing compared to last year, what the changes were, and then gives you summarized financial information. Well, let's see. That's probably all I need to say on that. So we'll flip back to the back. Last two pages. Okay, this report is the report that we're required to issue that just says that we perform your audit in accordance with government auditing standards. I won't spend a lot of time on this. We look at your internal controls specifically to identify significant deficiencies or material weaknesses. Those are whether it's a control deficiency or that's significant or multiple control deficiencies that pretty much guarantee that the financial statements are materially misstated. So if we had to come down and we found out that your property tax was recorded
incorrectly, and it was a material amount, let's say it was off by $200,000 or $300,000, then that's a material weakness that somehow during the course of the year, that didn't get caught. So it's mistakes that happen during the year, and there's not controls to catch those mistakes. The next report is the report that is for the state auditor. So the areas that are outlined there in the center of the page, I'm on page 59, those are the areas that we're required to look at. Your responsibility is to make sure that you're in compliance, and our responsibility is to verify that. Our opinion on your compliance, specifically for these areas, is an unmodified or an unqualified opinion as well. So we give an opinion on your financial statements and on your compliance. I have to put in the caveat that our opinion on your compliance is very specific to these areas. So that's what falls under our opinion. It doesn't excuse you from following the rest of Utah code, nor does it validate that you are following the rest of Utah code. There's a lot of sections that we look at during the audit that are compliance type issues that don't fall under this, that we make sure that you're following, that I feel like are more appropriate to the financial statements. Let's see. Switch to the small one. All right, so this letter is directed towards the council, management. This letter really doesn't encompass the financial statements. That's why it's separated and it's just stapled together. Is if somebody asks for your financial statements, they typically don't get this letter. This is just communication that we're required to communicate to you at the close of our audit. Our responsibility as far as the financial statements go is laid out in our engagement letter. Dave can give you a copy if you're concerned about it. It just lays out what the scope of our audit is, what the timing is, when we're going to perform build work, when it's going to be done. Compliance with ethical requirements and independence. So this is just, we're required to communicate to you that we have standards that we have to follow, and that burden is not on you as a city council, nor is it on Dave and Jeannie, to make sure that we're independent. That's my job, to make sure that my team is independent of the city, and not only my team, but my entire firm. So that's that kind of onus of responsibility is on us. All right, so I said we were going to talk about significant risks. Everybody has asked me about this year, because this is something new that we're required to report. And we can actually add this to the audit report. I don't know why you would put it in the audit report. I haven't had anybody want me to put it in the audit report. And the reason being is the city themselves, you didn't do anything to warrant these significant risks. So this isn't a tell-all of, hey, we identified these significant risks in performing our audit. These are significant risks that we identify before we even come and do field work. The reason why we have to disclose them is all of our audits are risk-based. So we come in and we look at every area, whether it's cash, whether it's revenue, whether it's fixed assets, whether it's your controls, just the overall nature of certain types of things, they all have their own risk. So cash is typically a high risk area. It's easy to walk away with cash. All of these three that were identified are common areas of fraud. In fact, this is where the majority, I'd probably say 90 to 95% of fraud happens with these risks. So that's why we go into the audit saying these are the significant risks. What does that mean to us? Well, that means that we not only look at your financial statements, but we have to plan specific tests to address these areas. So improper revenue recognition, it's not as common in government, but people will manipulate their revenue in order to be in compliance with like bond requirements. So if you have to have a certain amount of revenue because you have electric bonds, so typically it's about 125% is what the bond companies require. You could manipulate your revenue and say, well, we actually charge this much in the electric fund rather than what really happened. So you're falsifying what your revenue is in order to be compliant with that. Does that make sense? It's more common in the private sector, like the Arthur Anderson Enron. That's what they were doing. They were manipulating revenue so that they could make their shareholders happy and increase their stock. Cash disbursements, this is very common in governments and stuff, and one that is pretty specific to our government clients. Because you are dealing with public funds, the public wants to be aware of what you're spending your money on, how you're spending it, is it appropriate? So we do specific tests over the cash disbursements to make sure that it was budgeted for, that there's an approval process, and that the cash is actually going where it's supposed to be going. All right, management bias, financial statement estimates, and the ability to override controls. So this is an inherent risk. I know that you guys have heard me talk about internal controls before, but all of your financial statement systems should be built on transactions. So if you charge somebody for utilities, you're going to create an invoice, send them an invoice, so that transaction is you're going to credit revenue, then you're going to debit accounts receivable. They're going to come in and they're going to pay for their utility bill, so you're going to increase cash and decrease the accounts receivable. So those are transactions, individual transactions that are happening that build your financial statement.
I didn't see an app for that. You need to down.
Apparently, she thought I said Siri. now I lost my train of thought. So if during that process, if there's a mistake that's made, then somebody has to correct it. So somebody has to have the ability to override that control of transactions, and that's done through a journal entry. So Dave has the ability to create a journal entry that then fixes that mistake. So that's the good side of what journal entries do. But you can also manipulate and hide and commit fraud through journal entries. So we plan specific tests around the journal entries. We look at all the journal entries that are created. We get, you know, make sure that they're all approved, that they're prudent, that they're accurate, that they're doing what they're saying they're doing, they're actually correcting the mistake, or they're adjusting account balances that need to be accounted for. Estimates, you can manipulate your financial statements with estimates. Typically, this is going to boil down to your allowance for doubtful accounts. You know, if you have something that you're probably not going to receive, so you'll create an account, a contra account to your accounts receivable, that says, okay, we're setting aside this allowance because we don't think we're going to get paid for all of our utilities. The good news is for you guys is you can shut somebody's power off if they don't pay their bill, so you have that leverage. But if you have, let's just say that you were promised to receive a contribution for $100,000, so you go out and spend the money and you have this receivable, well, now you're not going to get that money. You know, you can create an allowance for that, but you can manipulate that up or down to make your financial statements look better. The other one that is kind of outside of your control that I've been talking to people about is the Utah retirement systems. At the end of the year, Dave gets a set of journal entries that says, okay, here's the balances that you need to put in your books for your net pension liability, what the pension costs were. The problem is that is very up and down. So last year you had a net pension liability, so in all your utility funds, you see this liability of net pension liability, and you're like, what the heck, where did this come from? Well, it's the Utah retirement systems. The only way that you're ever gonna have to pay that liability is if everybody in the retirement system decided next week that they're gonna retire. And then all of a sudden, everybody's gotta contribute to fully fund the retirement. This year, because the markets were good last year, you now have a net pension asset. So all of your proprietary funds or your business type funds, it went from a liability on the balance sheet up to an asset. Well, that means that you have less expenses or more revenue in those funds that affects your bottom line. Next year, with the way the markets are going, and if you look at economic projections, I'm pretty sure it's going to go back to a liability. So then that means that you're going to have more expenditures that you have to recognize in those funds. So you can see how your financial data is going to go up and down. Really hard for as a council to plan for the future when you're looking back over the last few years to say, okay, what's going on in the water fund or the electric fund, or even government-wide that says, you know, what money do we have to spend? What have we typically been spending when it's up and down like this? What I would say is anytime that you're trying to plan for the future, especially in those departments, is to back all those numbers out. So just have Dave reverse all those out so you can see what's actually happening, because those expenditures are not real expenditures on your books. They're non-cash. They're thrown in there really to account for that liability or that asset. All right. Talking about accounting policies, we just make sure that you're using appropriate accounting policies and practices. Talk about the estimates. There weren't any significant difficulties as part of the audit that were required to communicate. There weren't any uncorrected misstatements. That just means if during our testing we come up with a different balance, or we're recalculating or something that's different than your books, if it's over a certain dollar amount, usually it's, we calculate materiality for every fund, and then usually if it's under 10% of whatever that materiality is, then we'll pass on it and say, well, it's not a far enough of a difference for us to report on your financial statements being materially correct. If there are any of those, we just track them until they become material, and then we say, okay, you've either got to adjust these, or we can't give an unmodified opinion. Representations for management, we get a letter signed that basically just says that the city's been open and honest in their communication with us, anything that we've asked for, that you're not holding any information that potentially could affect the financial statements. The reason why we get that at the end of the audit is when I'm reviewing my team's work, reviewing the financial statements, and then I review the opinion, I'm confident in that opinion because I know that you've been open and honest with us. Let's see, consultations with other accountants. If there is a concern that arises, you're more than happy to go out and talk to a third-party auditor or another CPA. The only requirement is that we know that you're talking to somebody and that we can also talk to them so that we can explain our understanding of whatever it is, and then we can come to an agreement and move forward with the audit. All right, I think that's it. So the exciting part of the night is the findings. And the lowest of the internal control findings and the state compliance finding this year. So we should have a couple years in a row with no findings. So, well, if you guys have any questions. That's good.
No findings.
No concerns.
No findings, no questions.
Happy to chat about whatever you guys. If you guys have any questions.
You did make something on the audit that you was going to make a recommendation, something like a swim pool in different places where cash was handled.
Yeah, that was something we talked to Dave about. I didn't think it warranted an actual fine. I would just say that any time that you're dealing with cash at a remote location, you really need to have specific control over those, making sure that it makes its way back to the city. I don't like cash being collected as in cold hard cash. If you could come up with a square system or some kind of electronic method of collecting that cash, or have a deposit book or things like that, so that somebody can look at it to say, okay, we allowed, if it's at the swimming pool and you allowed 50 kids come in that day, you should expect to see, $500 or whatever it costs to get in multiplied by how many kids got in there. That's one of the areas, like I said, cash is so high risk that anywhere that you're collecting cash, even at the city offices, you have to have multiple people involved. You can't have one person manning a station and not have the checks and balances. It's just too easy and too tempting for people, even people that you really, really trust. People have different circumstances that come up in life, and things can happen. And so that's our recommendation, and it's a recommendation that I get for quite a few cities, is just, especially over cash, you need to have multiple eyes, multiple people performing those responsibilities. For example, if somebody comes into the city office to pay, whoever gets the check or opens the mail should make a log of, hey, we received a check from so-and-so. Somebody else should then take that check, record it in the system, and then somebody should create a deposit, and then somebody else should take it to the bank. And all the way along there, somebody has second eyes on that to make sure that that's actually happening, that all the cash that's coming in the door is actually making it to the bank.
That's how the church does it.
Yep.
So does it, remind me, don't they have vending machines up there at the pool?
No, they just sell, the candy.
Oh, they just sell stuff, so is it, do they generate a lot of cash up there?
A fair amount.
So how do they do it up there?
They use a cash register to do it.
I mean, have they got, is it just Brittany that does, brings all the cash, or how does that all work? I've never thought about it, I guess, but I don't.
So we've got the Conspire Arena, the library, and the pool that all generate some cash.
So library does.
Stephanie does once in a great while.
Yeah, Steph does, and on occasion, the cemetery, because they'll pay for their open and closing costs.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's something that's ongoing, I mean, I would set a policy that they have to have an open cash balance every day, it should be the same, whether it's $200, $250, whatever it is. And then they've got to have a register of, this is everything that we've registered today, and then that cash should match whatever that register is. Like I said, I mean, I like base stuff with cash, I hate using cards and things like that, I'm not an electronic guy, even though I'm an auditor, I hate technology, but it's the world that we live in, and you know, eventually, you know, with blockchain and things like that, it's going to be even more so electronic, whether you like it or not, it's coming, so.
I know we've talked even a little bit about like the rodeo, when we have our 4th of July rodeo, yeah. It's just this, you know, you get busy and crazy and hectic and
that's, yeah, and it's just sitting down and coming up with controls in place and having multiple people and multiple eyes and a review process. And, you know, sometimes it boils down to you have to trust the people, and, you know, it becomes down to, okay, who are you hiring? And, you know, you kind of vet them and, you know, you know them. And okay. Even that's not 100% sure, but.
We've had cities around here locally in the county, I know, that's had issues over the years.
Yeah, yep. Canada, so I've been involved in too many cases where even people in the city offices of, well, there's a town down south that, you know, the clerk was paying their kids' utilities and everything else, and then using city funds to pay their paper, and got caught, mayor caught her, and then 6 months later, the mayor got caught doing the same thing, so they both got whammy. We just took over an audit out in Uinta or Willow that the lady walked away with, like, $2 million, you know, and they had to have a forensic audit come in, which they're not cheap, and we came in as the auditors and worked with the forensic auditors, and it's not a pretty picture when it happens. You just want to make sure that controls, you prevent that opportunity from something happening, and that really in the fraud triangle, that's the only thing that you can prevent. You can't prevent life happening for people, you know, life events that put people in a position where they feel like they have to take money. And you also can't change the way, you know, people's inherent nature of, if they're presented with a situation, what's their ethical response going to be? You can't change that. All you can do is prevent the opportunity. And so if you can prevent that opportunity, even if they feel like they want to or need to, they can't, because that opportunity is not present.
Well, it'd be hard to not take cash or something up there, because like with my kids, if I send them down there, I send them with $20 to go to the pool or whatever. And it's easier because you don't want to send them with your credit card.
Yep. And I don't think you'll ever get 100% away from it. You just want to make sure that there's controls in place down there and things like that.
And John, they have a certain amount of time once they've received that money to get it turned into the city. Is that 3 days?
Well, so the city has 3 days to get it to the bank. And that is, and I tell people that 3 day rule is for people who live in a rural area that aren't at the bank all the time. So, like, one of the things, like, I mean, you're talking about the way the church does things, you're supposed to take the deposit with two people every day to the church, well, or every Sunday. Well, I'm in the branch presidency, and nobody's going to drive down to Spanish Fork to take it to the bank on a Sunday, because you want to go home and relax on a Sunday, so I usually take it on Monday morning. But, you know, that's kind of the situation where if you're not close to a bank, then they give you up to 3 days to get there. But really, they should be bringing the money to the city at the close of the day every day.
So, and that would include, like,
The reason I'm asking, because like our rodeo, sometimes it goes late, or the causeway has something that happens and they're not done until midnight, yep. Or do they have until the next morning?
I would say that they need to bring it to the next morning. I mean, it's not a perfect world. I mean, if you have a drop box, like they could put the slip in there and put it in a sealed envelope and
drop it in.
Put it in the drop box, just like you do at the bank. But
we have a bank.
Anytime.
They steal the drop box.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
I don't like to have people keeping any type of money in their possession. That's just it's just an accident waiting to happen.
Okay.
And it may not be them, it may be they may be leaving it on the seat of their car or something like that, and somebody sees that and breaks in their car and takes it, and then ultimately they're responsible, but. I mean, as a treasurer, like, you're bonded for all that money, but nobody else is. I mean, you're ultimately the one that has to make sure that money makes it to the bank, so.
Right.
Okay. Comes down to trust.
Yeah, a lot of times it does.
There was a clerk up in one of these wards of Mount Pleasant here that was embezzling and tithing money.
That's like, it's amazing what certain life circumstances
give
that's the people.
Yes, it is.
It was thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I've seen really good people do some pretty simple things. And, I mean, I review stuff nationwide, and so I see a lot of fraud cases nationwide, and it's getting more and more common, and so I just tell people you just can't have enough controls, and people don't like to have controls because they don't like to be told what to do and they don't like eyes looking at them, but it's better to be safe than sorry. I mean, you don't want to end up in the newspaper, and neither do I, so.
There was a situation, contour, swim pool, where there's no real way to track who goes in and out of there. How many, you know, 10 kids are going to go swimming, and the person taking the cash takes 5 of the money and marks down 5, went in swimming, who knows? You know, on the contour,
I'd be curious to see
the riders out there and the payout.
See how they track
it. It comes down, you've got to trust
us. What we're doing.
I don't know how you ever track some of that stuff.
A lot of times you can't, like there's not a way to track cash. And that's why cash is so high risky, is there's not a lot of, and I talked to the mayor quite a bit about it, it's really hard to track cash.
That's what I say, a lot of places they take cards only, and for that reason. Businesses take cards only at night.
Yeah. Yep. I wish we could get more online on a lot of things because of that reason, it takes our risk out.
Yeah.
How does other swimming pools do it versus us? Are they?
A lot of them are still cash because, like you said, I mean, you send your kid down.
You send your kid down,
because you're not going to send them with your credit card. I mean, a lot of people have the Square system where it's going to record everything. We worked with the county, well, Grand County. We did a bunch of internal control stuff for them, and so they collect a lot of cash at the sand flats, which is kind of a recreational area. And they started using the Square system, and so they were asking about controls, and so I started asking questions and just said, okay, well, what if somebody mimics the Square on their phone? Because you can log out of the city account, log into your account, it looks just, you know, you can create it to look just like a city one, and then all of a sudden people were swiping their card and it's going right into your bank account, you know, and they were like, holy crap, we never even thought about that, you know, and sometimes you have to think like a thief to catch a thief, but I mean, that's the bad part of our business, but.
So the pool does have, they've got that sports site.
Yeah.
That they do try to track everything. That way it's all supposed to go through that system, so it's recording who's been there and who paid what and what it was for. So they have a little bit more, but I was thinking, Hub City Day Rodeo,
yeah,
the contract, there's no way to track the money that's coming in or going out there.
Well, like, you know, do you count the amount of burgers that you buy and the amounts left over afterward? Is that how you keep track of how many burgers were sold? Or
How many of them are double burgers?
The key to me is getting the money back to the city fast enough, because some of it doesn't get back here very fast, and that, to me, that's a worry. I wouldn't want that money in my hand longer than we have to have it.
That's where I would start.
I'll flip burgers, I don't want to handle the money. I don't want to touch it.
That's where I would start, is just setting policies that, hey, if you collect money, it needs to be back to the city, you know, the next day. That day, if possible, if not the next day.
Yeah, as far as the contour, it'd have to be on a Monday, because I have a lot of stuff on Sunday.
And that way, I mean, if they're collecting a lot of cash, I would say you really probably need to have a drop box, and then whoever leads the arena can just drop by the city offices and drop it off, just because that, you know, if they're collecting thousands of dollars, that's a lot to be having sitting somewhere.
And I know I personally wouldn't want to be responsible for that.
I wouldn't want to be in my house, too, for somebody to bring it.
You both, I wouldn't want to count.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to look into how to seal the deposit.
That's why I was just saying, what did they use to seal it?
I don't know. We might, maybe we should look at it, though.
One thing you can set up in Valoris is you can look at revenues and do analysis on revenues, and, you know, if you're seeing fluctuations, you know, and look for inconsistencies. I mean, that's the fastest way to catch something like that, is looking at, okay, Monday we collected $10,000, and Tuesday we collected $1,000, Wednesday we went back up to $11,000, but if everything else is fairly consistent, then you know, okay, something happened. And then you start looking a little bit more into, okay, how many people actually went there on Tuesday? Maybe they had a down day or things like that. That's one of the things that we looked at with the contour, was the revenue. You know, because they had a big spike and then dropped back off, and you're a little bit concerned. But we went back a number of years and did analysis on all the revenue, and they're pretty consistent, and then they had a big jump 1 year, and then it went back to the same consistency. And when we asked about the additional stuff, it was more events that were happening at the consulate, because everybody, it was during COVID, and that's where people wanted to go. And so, anyway, that's kind of the spike that happened, but then it kind of went back to where it was pretty level every year for the past probably 8 or 9 years. So, but that's what I do, is just start, and if you're concerned, just, there's a lot of things you can do with analysis. I mean, you can go down to every day or every week, or start spotting inconsistencies, things like that, and then just start investigating from there. But don't let it go 8-9 months, because then you can't go back and say, okay, well, let's try and figure out on July 1st how many people were at the pool or the arena or the library when it's December. So,
what are they doing now? About every 3 days, like the pool and the library?
The pool does almost every day, except on the weekend. We usually get three on Monday. But usually Brittany brings the deposit daily for the pool, unless she's been sick, and then it'll go a couple days. The library, they do the deposit every day, and I think she tries to bring that in every day, except for the weekends again. Contoy, it's really fluctuates on when that one comes in. It's
weeks.
It can go weeks at a time. It can go
depend on advance.
Yeah, and I don't know if they had an event this past weekend, but today was the first, was when Galen came in, so I don't know. I need to see a calendar, but it fluctuates. It's usually, even if it was the weekend, she doesn't usually make it in to see us until Tuesday or Wednesday. So, it just kind of fluctuates.
Are they still doing cash up the camping up there at the power plant?
No, that's all done.
Is that all online now only?
It's all done online only. Even if you go up there, you have to reserve it online.
Go online and
use credit card.
Use credit card.
I still take cash payments for power bills.
You guys there anything else?
Good. No, unless you guys have questions, you're on top of it, I mean, I'm good. Good job, we'd like to come back.
Oh, I'm making motion re-adjourn.
Now, check it.
Dave and Jeannie on the back, and just chance.
Lot of increases.
Dave's sick, so he's home before he gets back.
Right. Thanks for coming.
I know, I haven't worked before.
Science is not the day for you, too.
You talk to him pretty bad.
So Dave's been doing a pretty good job for a long time.
Yeah.
I buzz by my house.
He does. I wouldn't want it, yeah.
I'm like, come on, guys.
You know, Jesse, last name was Jesse?
Barry Jesse?
I don't know who that is.